I was going to yell that. Son of a bitch.
Okay, this is our Marvel Pinball edition, apparently.
I don't trust pinball machines. People get raped around them.
Wait, it's different. Yeah,
it's okay.
It's an X-Men. It's the Xbox Live Arcade title, right?
You betcha.
How much was it?
I think it was $800 for four tables. I think. I can't remember. I just.
Let me ask you a question. When you're playing it, does someone get raped in the background?
Nope.
What type of pinball tables do you fetch?
Have you ever, dude, in any movie when there's a pinball machine, there's like a 90% chance someone's getting raped?
Only in the 90s.
Or like, you know, in The Walking Dead a few days ago.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to see that pinball table and be like, somebody's going to get raped. Right,
there's
on.
About four in The Walking Dead, I think. None of them are switched on, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about pinball rape, I think we can call it a wrap. So this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 25. But no, joining me this week is our... At some point, you four should get a name.
What?
But
we're the nerds, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, but...
No!
I mean, what?
I don't want to be a nerd.
Then what do you want to be?
Well, you're on the Nerds on the Rocks.
We can be individual.
Fucking loser, you know. How's
I am
that?
Not a number. I am a man.
I am number six.
You're number six out of five people. Awesome.
Oh, come on now. I gotta be number six.
Why do you have to be number six?
I don't know.
Multi-ball!
You already shouted that.
I know, but it happened again.
Earl, go watch The Prisoner, then get back to us.
Oh, I like that.
The original, not the shit remake.
Yeah, I used to watch it, man, when I was a... In high school. On A&E. A&E. Do you guys get that down there?
Yes.
Yes.
Why wouldn't
and
we
The
get
Fugitive.
That?
I used to watch The Fugitive and be like, oh my god, it's Captain Kirk.
I like the movie. The horror
movie.
Spot.
The TV
I like
show.
The movie. I haven't seen the TV show, so.
Oh, it wasn't me. It was the one-on man.
I'm not that old, so, you know.
Oh, ouch.
Sorry.
How did Tom put it older than the Andre...
And you were talking about me.
Yeah, and then he said he's older than the dirt on the laundry or something like that.
He said I was older than Jesus' laundry is how he put it.
There you go.
Which is untrue. I'm slightly less old than that.
That's good. It makes me feel better.
How does that make you feel better? You're still old.
Fuck off, Earl.
Where the fuck did Dylan go?
I don't know. But since we're taking so long to actually get an
he just fucks off sometimes.
He ate a burrito. I'm sure he had to hit the can.
So while Dylan does whatever he needs to do and returns, let me introduce these people when I have a chance to.
Plus, it's a long way to Manhattan.
Joining us is Eric.
Hey, man.
Anthony.
Hello.
Who has a new mic.
Yeah, headset. Bitch.
I don't.
Same difference, and Nicholas.
Hilo Dallas Multipass.
Yeah, oh shit.
Oh, we were doing that on the train home once, and then my mate got really pissed off at me, because I kept on doing that to him. He kept on going, Multipass. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's funny.
I was debating whether I should watch that while we were doing this. I decided not to, because I didn't want to derail another one.
I mean, this week we're doing comic books we love, and I don't, what is the fifth one? Like, comic books you recommend, but might not be for everybody?
Yeah, it's four that you love and you think everybody should read, and one that you think, this is awesome, but I'm not sure that everybody's going to love it. Because I can tell you right now, I know like 10 of them that I love. They'd be like, I love this, you're not going to like it.
Okay, and well, joining us again is Dylan. Are you back?
Hello.
There you go.
Yes, I just moved rooms because the wireless internet sucks.
Fair enough. Okay, so who wants to go first?
You missed my awesome intro, son. You'll have to listen to the podcast to find out.
So who wants to go first this week? Don't all raise your hands.
I vote Nicholas. No, it's your idea, man. Either.
Fair enough. Nicholas goes first.
But yours are all going to be much more mainstream than mine, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, mine are, actually.
Based
well, you know
upon the
mine
two
are.
Lists that I've seen, yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, my screen has Nicholas, Anthony, Eric, and Dylan, so we're going in that order.
Oh, son of a beast thing. Okay. So, I am, you dick tease.
What?
I don't know, I kind of failed in the middle of that one.
Earl's wearing pink again, I don't know.
wearing pink shows that you're comfortable with your sexuality.
Yeah, apparently. I guess. If you like dick.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. So, number one, something that everybody should read. It's an older work of Matt Fraction's from before most people knew who he was. He came out first with a thing called Last of the Independents, which was a kind of a crime graphic novel. But after that, he put out a graphic novel called The Five Fists of Science, which is fucking awesome. And I forget who the artist is, but it is about Nikola Tesla and Mark Twain fighting Thomas Edison, J.P. Morgan, and a bunch of other bankers back in the day who are summoning Cthulhu monsters through New York. And Nikola Tesla makes a giant robot.
Wait, what is this called?
Fists of Science.
I've been tempted to buy that and read it because it's Matt Fraction.
Oh, it's amazing. Because it's based on a couple facts. The fact that Mark Twain and Nikola Tesla were actually friends. And that Nikola Tesla did hate Thomas Edison because Thomas Edison was a giant douche. But, yeah, so basically the entire story is about how Nikola Tesla is awesome and the first superhero. And science! With an exclamation point.
And the artist is Steven Sanders.
Yeah, that's right.
It's currently $10.39 on Amazon.
Go for it. Shit is hot. It's a graphic novel. I forget how many pages it is. It's like a full story. And
112
it's
pages.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
It sounds like it's an awesome read.
It is. It was. I'd read Matt Fraction stuff before that, but that was the first thing I read where I was like, "All right, this dude's awesome."
Good, interesting. Anthony, you're up.
Oh,
You have a list in front of you.
I know. I'm just not sure.
Goodness.
I'm just not sure what to. All right, my first one I'm going to pick is a Brian Michael Bendis book. And it is New Avengers Illuminati, and it's one of the prequel books to Civil War. It's collected in a trade, The Road to Civil War, but there's some JMS comics in that as well. So I don't know if some of you actually want to check that out.
Nah.
But it's like, yeah.
I have the New Avengers Illuminati trade.
Yeah, with the five stories.
Yeah.
It's like five or six comics. Yeah, I've read that. But I really enjoyed it because he manages to work in like this secret group into like most of the backbone of the Marvel universe, and it doesn't just seem like he's kind of like forcing it in there. It like makes sense where you can believe that it was there all the time, and it's like Tony Stark and Professor Xavier, Reed Richards, Namor, and I think that's it, and Black Bolt as well, and yeah, it's like a The first issue was pretty much just sat around a table and talking, but you know, it was good, it was fun.
Did you see Professor X?
Yeah, Professor X is in it.
Sorry.
But it confused me a bit, because some issues he's walking in and some issues he's in his chair, so I don't know what happened.
Because it's stories through time of the history.
Yeah.
There's various points in X-Men continuity when he can walk.
Yeah.
Or when somebody was holding him up.
Yeah.
What is it, the Savage Ants? Can he walk in that, or is that just something from cartoons?
That was, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
X-Men continuity, not exactly the clearest.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good book. Well, I thought it was anyway.
How long is it? Because I know it's a Bendis book, so.
One sec. It's probably just over 100 pages, actually.
And he said it has some JMS or?
Well, it's 128 pages. There's the first story that they did, The Road to Civil War, which is the first book they're in. And that's got some JMS comics, because it's got some amazing Spider-Man comics and Fantastic Four comics, because they were all the prequels they did to the Civil War storyline. And the New Avengers Illuminati is the first story in the Road to Civil War book.
Interesting.
Mr. Pilgrim.
Really?
Yes. I even shouted out the order before we started this.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
That's good to know.
Okay, I'll just,
Even still, when two people go, you should have an idea of what you're going to talk about.
I want to talk about my Spider-Man story, my favorite Spider-Man story, which would be Kraven's Last Hunt, because it was awesome. He defeats Spider-Man and drugs him, puts him in a death-like coma, buries him for 2 weeks, and then parades around the streets of New York in his costume and beats up criminals. And not like Spider-Man, he's like breaking faces. And it was good. And by the end of it, he shoots himself.
Why?
Because he won. He defeated the spider. And the whole time he was running around, he's going on about how he had to become one with the spider and how he did become one. And he was crazy, right? Obviously, but he was happy. And that's the note he went out on. So if you look at what they've done just recently with, what was it, Grim Hunt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They brought him back. He's mad. He was angry they brought him back, because he was, you know, he killed himself for a reason. He had defeated his mortal enemy.
He had fulfilled his purpose in life.
Exactly. And then they brought him back, so.
Yeah, but technically Spider-Man's still alive, so he didn't defeat him. He can do it again.
He beat him up. He buried him. He pretty much killed him. It was awesome. It's a fairly old story, actually.
Yeah, I haven't read that, actually. I want to read it. I haven't got around to it yet.
I'm pretty sure Mike Zeck was the artist, and that guy, it was running through three different titles.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he drew them all or not, though. I know he drew some of them. That was also my first exposure to Vermin, and that rat dude, he kind of freaked me out in those books. But, like, you know, when I was reading them, I was a lot younger, so more impressionable back then.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite stories.
When you say younger, wouldn't you be like your 20s?
No, dude, I'm thinking like, I'm pretty sure I was junior high.
Wow, this is an old story.
Yeah.
Like the 60s?
Oh, come on.
No, it's not the 60s, it's a bit later. I think it's the 80s.
Yeah.
Possibly 70s.
No. No.
It's not from the 60s.
I couldn't dig it out, man, because I've got a gazillion comics there, so I can't confirm. I'm sure if we looked it up, though, on the old Google.
What, why 1987.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this comic is older than two members on this podcast.
Well, it's older than me. Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of people who this comic is older than, Dylan, it's your turn.
I'm going to pick a Batman book that I actually don't know if people have heard of or not. It's called Batman Arkham Reborn. Anyone heard of it?
I haven't.
Wait,
no.
Is this the recent one?
Yeah, it's
August. Like, yeah, wow, this must have just come out. Yeah.
This is the one where after Battle for the Cow and Black Master of Arkham and like Jeremy spelled it in with the secret, like those his special patients.
Yeah, the story is, as people probably know if they have read Batman at all, Arkham got destroyed during Battle for the Cowl by Black Mask, and then...
Which number destruction was this? Because did that place burn down like every 5 minutes or so?
It does, right? You go through. I think that was part of the thing, is that they're trying to... I think Bruce Wayne actually funded it this time.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll last.
Yeah, so yeah, he's rebuilding it, and he has this special part for his special patient.
Are you crying while eating cake?
I'm sorry,
that really came out of nowhere.
Yeah, what's with the cake? Are you eating cake, man? Whoa.
I'm not eating cake, no.
I'm not.
How did we get on cake?
Cake is a lie, Earl.
The cake
it's
is
all a
lie.
Lie. It is a lie. I can't find that damn cake in that stupid game.
Stupid game. That is an awesome game.
I know it's an awesome game, but I can't find the damn cake.
I want cake now.
Cake's on the wall.
Cake's on the... What?
I cake's found on the rocks?
Cakes on the Rocks.
See, we keep talking about cake, and my dog is looking at me like, you're not fulfilling your end of the bargain with the cake.
So while he fixes his thing, I guess I'll go. And my first pick is one I pimped out on this podcast several times before.
Oh, no, Batman.
It's what?
Batman.
Yes, it's Batman. I said I limited myself to two Batman stories, but this one is actually Gotham Central, book one in the Line of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Damage Control.
Not that. We've been through this already.
Not going to have this argument again. You will lose.
Okay, just check. Yeah, okay, I know. I was wrong.
And
it's still funny.
What is this? I think it's like the first 10 issues of the series. I think they skip over some. But the main two stories is the first one, which is like an introduction to the GCPD and them trying to solve a crime that involves Mr. Freeze without the assistance of Batman. And the second one deals with Two-Face finding out that Renee Montoya is a lesbian and using that to try to blackmail her on the police force.
Oh, my.
Is that the one written by Ed Brubaker?
Yeah.
Ooh, I might read that actually. Yeah.
And then she later becomes a question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
in 52. Well, so this is a fairly old story.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it too.
Yes, it's of the series. It's like 40 issues, like I mentioned before, and it's kind of, you know, you get introduced to Renee Crispin. I forget the commissioner. Atkins is the commissioner at the time. I think at this time, Blurk is off the force because of what happened in Officer Down.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is Bullock from the cartoon specifically, or is he derived from the comics originally?
He's from the comics originally.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. You get some story with him and find out why he's off the... Like, you know, you still kind of get corruption in the GCPD. And I'm not, you know, because it's 40 issues and there's a bunch of different stories and characters who are introduced and taken out and stuff like that. But the first trade sets it up nicely, especially the conflict between the police department and Batman and how they feel that they don't get as much recognition because people always see that he, you know, he deals with like the super criminals, like the Mr. Freezes, the Joker, Poison Ivy and stuff. And I don't know if it's in the first trade or in the second one, but there is actually a case they solve without his assistance, and one of the main detectives on that case, you know, kind of calls him in on the bat signal to tell him that.
Yeah, I'm looking on eBay now, and those trades are going for, like, £50 each, so...
Really?
How much is that?
Yeah.
That's like 60 bucks.
Okay.
I mean, £50 is quite a lot for a book.
That's like, how much does a hen weigh?
Huh. Yeah. Oh, sweet. Maybe I should, I don't want to sell mines, but,
Well,
sweet. I get some money for it.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like the Gotham Central having a paperback reprint next year, according to Amazon.
Say words, son.
And I think Dylan's back now.
Yeah.
So you can tell us about your, we were up to naming his special patient in Batman Arkham Reborn.
Well, okay, I can't remember what their names are. I don't even know if they gave them actual names, but...
They had names, I can't remember it. I just know it's like the guy who's always staring in the mirror.
There's three of them, and one is like a narcissist. It's been a while since I read it.
It's out, was out this year.
Well, yeah, but like
it came out
four
like 3 months ago.
I've read a lot of books since then, so maybe I should have done a bit of research here. But
Wikipedia is your friend, and mine.
Well, I have the book here. I just can't find a damn page with the three of them in one panel. Okay, well, there's the narcissist, and then there's two others that I can't remember, and they're like. He takes special interest in them, and they're a separate part of the asylum, and, I don't know, Batman doesn't think that things are going... He thinks something's up, which something is up, so it's just about the new Arkham and Black Mask, basically.
Does he walk in and go, what's up?
there's a riot where he shows up, and, yeah.
This is actually Dick at this time.
Yeah.
Richard?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, does have a flashback to when Hugo Strange first appeared, though. If you can only read books with Bruce as Batman, but anyways, yeah. So it's also got some insight into how the new Black Mask came around. Yeah, I don't know. Just enjoyed the book. I think people should check it out if you like Batman and kind of weird stories.
Yeah, I like most of the Arkham stories. I'm also a fan of the Joker's Asylum series.
Oh, yeah.
Those are pretty good one-shots.
I'm just very leery of anything that has Battle for the Cowl on it.
Yeah. I think this is one of the better things. I think this, and I think Underground was fairly decent. But yeah, Battle for the Cow as a whole was kind of a waste, since we all knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back to Nicholas.
All right, I'm queued up. Now I got one of my favorite series ever, possibly in my top three, with written by Warren Ellis and drawn by Derek Robertson. It is Transmetropolitan. Series, it started and a short-lived imprint in DC called Helix, but eventually went to Vertigo once they canceled the Helix line. But it's about a gonzo journalist from the future, Spider Jerusalem, who is essentially Hunter S. Thompson, but in the future and angrier. And I love Hunter S. Thompson. He's one of my heroes. So this series is pretty much made for me. It is funny. It is very politically acerbic, and there is a lot of commentary on things that you would not necessarily think would be covered in comic books, especially when put out by DC Comics. There is 10 trades?
Good God.
Yeah, there is 10 trades now. They had 11 of them, but that was the old printing. They're reprinting them in a slightly different format, and they have one more still to go, and then the whole series will be out again. It is fucking awesome. Basically, if you don't read Transmetropolitan, I don't know what to do with you.
Uh-oh.
Well, that just kind of puts us all in an awkward position, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, you haven't had the opportunity to. I'm assuming.
Fair enough.
I'm assuming you're just thinking, well, I don't know if I would. Now I'm telling you, yes, you should.
I should check it out. I do like picking up random trades when I go out to the comic shop. Especially if it's not like a superhero type deal.
It can be very wordy, because it is a very dialogue-heavy book, but the dialogue is just so fun, and, like, it's funny, but it's also serious. It doesn't read, like, it's not a chore to read through. Like, there's some comics that have so much words in them, like a Chris Claremont book, or a lot of JMS stuff, where it's just so fucking hard to read through it, because there's just so much crap. You're like, get to the fucking point already. But with Transmetropolitan, it's never like that.
And each book is currently $10.19 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And it is fucking amazing. It's the same artist through the whole thing. Derek Robertson drew the whole thing. There was two specials put out, which was text pieces by the quote unquote by Spider Jerusalem, Warren Ellis writing them, but and other comic artists doing like pinups and stuff. Which has a lot of really good artists doing stuff. Like Frank Quitely did one. I forget who else did. Paul Pope did one. Paul Pope's one of my favorite artists. And yeah, those are pretty cool too. I actually own a inked page of this.
Nice.
Or I did anyway. I gave it up. I gave it to someone.
Charity.
I bought it, but gave it to her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so mad because I just found out they made replicas of Spider Jerusalem's trademark glasses, and I want one.
And how much are these worth or going for?
I don't know. Let's find out. Google. Talk about yourselves.
While he Googles it, Anthony's pick is up next.
Found it.
Oh, there we go. Save by the bell.
You can get them for $60 on Etsy, so fuck
Holy
that.
Holy crap.
Fuck that noise.
Maybe they're worth $60.
Also, a huge fan of Transmetropolitan, Patrick Stewart, and you don't want to tell Jean-Luc Picard he's wrong about something.
Or Professor X.
Jean-Luc.
Yeah.
We're all talking comics, we should go with Professor X.
Yeah.
They make Star Trek comics, relax.
Yeah, but, I mean, Star Trek is a series that was transformed into comics. Professor X is a comic book character.
Oh, whatever. You tell Jean-Luc that. I agree with Nick.
Professor X.
Whatever, man.
And Gage.
Okay, we're up to Anthony, who's had enough time to come up, so you can't stutter. Go.
Yeah, my next pick is Spider-Man Blue, which is one of my favorite Spider-Man stories.
Grunt.
Is this one by...
Tim Sales art just doesn't do it for me, man.
It's basic. Really? It's Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale redoing some of the amazing issues by John Romita and Stan Lee for issues 43 to 48, and they've redone it into 6 books, and it's basically a love story where Peter is, it's Valentine's Day, and he's in the loft, and he's recording a message on this tape recorder to Gwen, but obviously he's never going to hear it, and he's telling this story about when they first met and about some of the villains he faced, and then it turns out that the Kraven had sent all these villains after him to test Spider-Man, so when he faced Spider-Man he thought he'd be able to beat him, but obviously he didn't because he got like the crap beat out of him as usual. But yeah, and it really is. I do actually quite like the Jeff Loeb Tim Sale books, and that one's my favourite. Yeah.
Sounds like a good read, and I like the team up. Huge fan of their Batman run.
It's quite short as well, so you don't have to devote a lot of time to it to enjoy it. Yeah.
I'm just gonna go broke this week, aren't I?
I'm already broke.
I was gonna say next year, because you can't do anything before Christmas. It sounds like a fun read. And I'm checking it out on Wikipedia. It is $40 on Amazon?
It
might be out of print.
It might be, actually.
It's so it seems. And what? Oh, did he do a series of these? Is this Hulk Gray?
Hulk Gray, and it's not correct, apparently. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Okay. And that leads us to you, Eric. It's your turn.
Okay. Let me look at my list here. It says The Crow.
I want to read that.
Trade paperback by Jay Obar. It's part poetry, it's part street art, it's part graffiti. It's
goth as fuck.
And metal too. I think. Kind of, I don't know. It's fucking one of my favorite all-time fucking books. Like, it's self-contained. Unlike how they butchered the movie franchise, this book, I don't know. I hand it to everybody I know. I'm like, you guys seen the Crow movie? Read this damn book. Don't skip the poems.
That's what I tell people when I tell them to read Lord of the Rings, but they skip them anyway.
There's poems?
In Lord of the Rings? Yeah.
Yeah.
People skip over them, but they're very important.
And it also, it's got a much different ending than the original movie. So if you haven't read the book, I implore you to.
It's good stuff.
It is.
I used to have the McFarlane put out this movie, the first line of Maniac, except that The Crow was the only one I got.
Oh, really? Because
I just love the way that the figure looked.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were... part of the reason that was so popular was Brandon Lee, right? Everybody was like, this is going to be his big breakout role. Bruce Lee's son.
And then he broke out of life.
Mm-hmm. That's sad. You don't have to cry, man.
Who was crying?
I don't know. It sure sounded like someone who's sniffling.
Yeah.
Or somebody's doing blow!
None of those things.
That's like the second reference from Joe.
Hey, man, I heard it last time, too. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, apparently you're hearing a lot of stuff people aren't doing.
Okay, that's good.
I have a question, actually, about the Crow book. Is it black and white, or is it in color?
Some of it's black and white, some of it's colored.
The original's black and white, though, right?
Yeah, the trade that I have has some color pictures in it. They are painted, but it is mostly black and white.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay.
And since Dylan's away from the... Oh, okay, Dylan's here. What is your second pick?
Well, I'm sure no one will be able to guess this, but Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, shock!
You're a fan of Scott Pilgrim?
You? Come on, Dylan, you like Scott Pilgrim?
No, I got a question. Who's Scott Pilgrim?
Who is Scott Pilgrim? Well, have I got a story for you.
I think I heard it.
I'm talking to you, Scott Pilgrim.
Remind me.
Well, I think that's your cousin on the your third cousin on your mother's side.
What? No.
He's your Tyler Durden.
I know.
I wonder if so oblivious.
But which trade or?
Well, the whole series. I like the whole series.
I love that.
Although I would have to say four is my favorite, but.
Did you get your parents to sign off on that Scott Pilgrim tattoo yet?
I'll go with four being the best. Yes.
Okay, what's Scott Pilgrim tattoo?
I'm not going to get one.
Why not?
Yet.
Oh, wait, what?
You should get a tattoo that says Ramona Forever. I don't know if anyone. At least one person got the reference.
I didn't.
Yeah, it's probably old. It's an old reference.
Apparently.
What is Anthony singing?
Singing Ramona.
Actually, I enjoyed Book 4 because it was a lot different from the film.
Yeah, that was they
oh my God, there's a movie?
Was what was done when they started writing the film. So that's where it started to veer off a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, DVD.
I was one of those guys who only got into Scott Pilgrim when the film came out, and I went out and read the books after seeing the film, and I just, when I was reading for it, I was like, wow, hardly knew if this is actually in the film. I enjoyed the book more. It's a great book. It's a good book, number four.
I got into it between book three and four, and so I was one of those people who was going nuts waiting for the last three books.
Yeah. Because of all the video game references, people kept on pimping that to me, so I got in somewhere between 4 and 5, I think.
I have a Scott Pilgrim t-shirt I got at New York Comic Con 2 years ago.
I am wearing mine right now.
It says and it has a Scott head, New York.
Ah, I've seen those. I want the one where he dresses up like Mario from Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, yeah, the raccoon thing or whatever?
Yeah. So, yeah, Scott Pilgrim, apparently we're all fans, except for... Yeah. Mr. Pilgrim.
Ironically enough.
I want my movie check, goddammit!
He's Canadian as well. They should love Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, really.
Are you going to be suing the character Billy Pilgrim as well?
Nobody will take my case.
How about Pilgrim's Progress, the ancient Christian allegory?
We have Pilgrim cheese over
it. Funny story. The church owes me money, too.
What did it? So you're just gonna sue everybody?
Everybody's been sued.
I'm assuming gonna end up losing more money in legal fee. Well, he's in Canada.
Nobody will take my case.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Same continent.
Wow. Would you like to be called a Russian?
That's not the same. I'm on an island. So,
what's the difference?
I'm on an island.
So am I.
The island I'm on is probably smaller than like Texas.
I'm an island. I'm sorry. I felt that was necessary.
Anyhow,
whiskey. Yeah.
Since Anthony doesn't want to earn his geography for what's the difference?
I got a nice bottle of Tullamore Dew I've been working on since last Christmas, actually.
Oh.
Every so often, I break it out and be like, I'm going to have a glass of whiskey for the hell of it, because I'm special and I'm me.
And it's Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting drunk later.
Nice.
I'm off. I'm not working tomorrow, so I'm just going to fuck it.
Jess promises you won't tweet about it.
I promise nothing when it comes to Twitter. Anyway, comics. Yes. Yeah, who's next?
We're up to me, and my second pick is Ex Machina.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I've attempted to check that out as well. I picked... Oh, sorry, I'll let you before. Sorry.
It's okay. Written by Brian Vaughn. It's an interesting story that pairs with, not like time travel, but, you know, telling a story. As you know, something terrible happens at the end. I haven't actually finished reading the series yet, but the first trade is really good. And it's just like, it's about Mitchell Hundred, who is now the mayor of New York, but he's a former superhero.
Mm.
And throughout the, you know, like at the end, you know, there's a huge event that he's kind of depressed about. And he tells you that from like the first page. And then it's like, he wasn't a really popular superhero, so he becomes mayor, and there's a reason for that as well, which they give you different hints for. But again, you don't know that during the first trade. And it's just a really well-told story. I like the character and all of the sub-characters, like his secretary, well, I guess assistant, and his best friend and stuff. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had like a mechanic who helped him make his suit. And there's a story with him, which I won't spoil, but you get to find out the backstory with them during the first. I have the first hardcover, which is like the first 7 issues, but there's also like 2 trades, which is like the first 100 days, and I think the Eyes and Sander or something like that. I don't remember the name of it. But yeah, the first hardcover connects those 2 trades. Like I said, I recommend checking it out. It's a fun story so far, and it's completed as of issue 50, so I was just waiting for them to do all of it for me to...
Wait, was it 50 or 60?
50, I think.
I think it's 50.
50, yeah.
I remember seeing about it on Twitter.
Yeah, people 50 going plus 4 specials.
I bought the, do you know how they did those $1 comics, like the What's Next series? I don't know. Yeah, I bought the X-Machina one of that, and I quite enjoyed it, so I'm probably going to buy it eventually when I bought loads of other shit as well, so.
Yeah, I got the first issue when it came out, because it came out around the same time as Why the Last Man did. And I don't know, for some reason I never got beyond the first issue, but I liked it. I just didn't buy the rest of it.
It's an it's a different superhero tale, since he's not really a hero throughout most of it.
He's not a cock.
Huh?
What? He said he's the mayor.
Yeah, he's the mayor.
He ends up being kind of a douche, doesn't he?
He is kind of a douche, and I think that's why he wasn't so popular as a superhero.
Yep.
Okay, now we're back to full circle. So we're back to Nickus.
Alright. Surprise, it's a Grant Morrison book.
No.
Ooh.
Dun.
I know, it's a shock. Shocker of the century, Nicholas Reed likes a Grant Morrison comic. Well, it's not actually a comic, it is actually 30 comics.
Oh man.
It is the Seven Soldiers meta-series put out by DC a few years ago. Which
something
is...
something I wouldn't mind checking out.
It is 7 miniseries, which are 4 issues each, plus the 2 specials, which are Seven Soldiers Zero and Seven Soldiers One. Each miniseries is about a different hero. The Shining Knight, Guardian, Bulleteer, Clarion, the Witch Boy, Frankenstein, Zatanna, and Mr. Miracle. All of them are connected into one larger story, but you can read each individual miniseries as its own thing. And the best part about this thing is that you can read them in any order you want. So, like, say you want to read them as individual miniseries. Say you want to read Shining Knight, all 4 issues, then Guardian, all 4 issues, and that's perfectly valid. But you can also read them in the release order, and you'll get a lot more of the connections that emerge between all the miniseries and stuff, and see the whole overarching plot that's going on. And it came from Grant Morrison's desire to do a superhero team where none of the team members actually met each other.
Sounds like his idea.
It is amazing. It's so well put together, and like the list of artists on it, I'd say the list of artists on J.H. Williams III, Simone Bianchi, Cameron Stewart, Ryan Sook, Fraser Irving, Pascal Ferry, Yannick Paquette, and Doug Monkey.
Like
that is a fucking list of artists right there.
It is.
And what I'd say to do is pick out the miniseries that you think you'd like the most and see if you like that, and then get the rest of them. Like, Eric, I'd say you should get Frankenstein, because that is
I would start with Frankenstein.
It is seriously the most metal comic I have ever read. Like, it's just Frankenstein talking, like, biblical, like, just epic biblical shit while wielding a giant sword and a gun and just killing the shit out of people.
I like it.
The Satan one is really good, and I think better than pretty much anything else anyone's ever done with her. Mr. Miracle is a little weird. That is the one that's the strangest out of all of them, but it also leads directly into Final Crisis.
Is that the Mr. Miracle who shows up with he's no longer Scott? It's like a...
Yeah, it's a different guy. He was a character who was around before.
Really?
Out of all of them, some of these are new characters and some of them are old. Like, Frankenstein, Zatanna, and Mr. Miracle were existing characters. And Clarion, Bulleteer, Guardian, and Shining Knight were all
Aren't they the properties that they bought or something?
The properties existed before, but they're new characters using
right.
the name.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I would highly recommend it. Picking up, there's four trades, I believe. Yes, four trades. That collects the whole series.
Cool. I was going to ask, I guess these hardcovers are combining them then? Because this one has, like, 400 pages.
Yeah, that would probably be...
And I can't see that being four of those. That would be a very long story.
Yeah. But no, it is really one of the... In a career where Grant Morrison has put out a lot of really good stuff, this is one of the best things he's done in terms of concept to execution. Like I said, it there's connections to Identity Crisis, to Infinite Crisis, to... It is a direct lead-in to Final Crisis. Like, there's events in this that actually set up what happens in Final Crisis.
Really?
Yeah, and there's references back to stuff in Justice League. There's actually a three-issue lead in JLA Classified, which was drawn by Ed McGuinness, which sort of sets up Seven Soldiers.
Nice.
That's just it is really just a well-done series of comics, which I highly recommend to everyone. Get on that, son.
And now we are up to Anthony.
I hate having to go after Nick, you know, because I've always got to top where he says I want to.
Yeah, listen, you can't top me, son.
Yeah, that's true. Alright, okay. My next pick is going to be Four Ages of Thunder, which is one of my... I enjoy a bit of Four, and that's one of my favourite Four books, written by Matt Fraction, and it's got a number of artists working on it, I think. No, I'm just gonna go. Yeah. Four Ages of Thunder. It's like, it's four, like, one shots collected into a trade. And it was written while JMS was writing four, I think. So they gave, like, they let Matt Fraction write one shots, I'm guessing, whilst JMS was doing the main title. Because I think there was some problems with some of the publishing dates of the main title, so that might be more of some
shit.
What
devil you say?
Well, yeah. But yeah, it's a great book. It's not very thick either, so it's easy to read.
I've read it, man. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Like metal comics. Those are some metal fucking comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found when I read those, I was like, well, I hope this guy takes over when JMS leaves. When they left Kieran Gillen in there too long, for my opinion.
I remember reading or listening to an interview with him around the time they started coming out, and he just said, I want to do a sword and sorcery thing where there's no elves and pussy shit. I believe is how he put it. And I was like, alright, fair enough. Let's do this, like, fucking Norse metal style, son. And
it did. It works. Oh.
Okay.
Now I want to watch the trailer again, damn it.
Oh, that's an awesome trailer. I love that trailer.
Oh,
yeah, somebody else talk, please.
I think it's time for Mr. Pilgrim again.
I can't find my notes.
But where did you put them in between us talking and now?
They're on my phone.
You and this phone.
Okay, so I gotta say this, because this book blew my mind, and I tripped out about it for a bit. And I still, every time I think about it, I don't know how to describe this book. It's a Warren Ellis book that he did at Avatar Press with Juan Jose Rip, I'm not sure. It's called No Hero, and it was done in one trade paperback. I think it's about four or five issues, I'm not exactly sure. But it is... It's good. It's really good. It's strange. Very, very different alternate take on the superhero scheme of things. And what pretty much... No, I don't want to tell you what happens. You got to read it. It's just good. It's kind of got a shocker of an ending.
The first issue of it. It was good, yeah. It was just... Yeah. It came out, like, right after Black Summer, and I was like, well, I'm worn out on this stuff right now.
Yeah, Black Summer was cool. I read that. But I thought this was better. It was just shorter, and I mean, he gives you what you need to know, mm-hmm. and then just let shit happen. Right. And then you're like, it's over. Oh. It's pretty good. I highly recommend it.
Nice. Mr. Dillion's turn, I believe, if he's around.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you just seem to cut out every time it's your turn.
Just trying to compose what I was going to say. My next pick, another Batman pick. Surprise, surprise. It's from the series that was in the 90s, I think it ended early 2000s, after No Man's Land, actually. It's from Batman, Shadow of the Bat.
Not a fan of that, but...
Oh, no, it's not No Man's Land, specifically. It's Arkham. So the last Arkham, if you don't know, is where they introduced, like, Jeremiah Arkham and Victor Zsasz. And Arkham was destroyed and rebuilt again. This happened every couple of years, apparently. So, I don't know, it's just got some good art and writing, and I enjoyed it. About 4 issues. I don't know if you can find trades anywhere. I haven't seen a trade. I had to get the issues individually, but I highly recommend it if you can find it.
And how many issues is this?
4. It's the first 4 from Batman Shadow of the Bat.
Okay. Wait, what is Shadow of the Bat? Because he had a lot of Shilavius's back. Well, he still does. But was this just another... Okay, I was going to say, was this just another avenue to put out Batman stories?
Yeah, pretty much. Just looking... Oh, okay, so on Wikipedia, it ran for 96 issues from 92 to 2000, and it was just another way to get out Batman stories set in the current continuity.
Okay. It was always fun when they had those huge crossover events, and you had to buy 50 comics a month.
Yeah, this was part of that for... Cataclysm and No Man's Land.
Yeah, and War Games. I hated War Games.
Wasn't War Games over by then?
I don't remember.
Wasn't this over by War Games?
I mean, I don't know. I just know it was 27 issues over the course of 3 months. So.
Oh, you're just saying as an example of huge crossovers.
Huge crossovers. Yeah, just a pain and a mess to read. But, that would bring us to me. And I am going to use Mr. Jones and go with Final Crisis, Rogue's Revenge. I'm a huge fan. I mean, honestly, it really has so little to do with Final Crisis. I think Zoom comes back to life, and that's the extent of it.
Yeah, was one of the two Jeff Johns... Final Crisis tie-ins that had nothing to do with Final Crisis itself.
Yeah. I think there was like a mention of Libra, but that's about it. I mean, I'm a huge fan of most of DC's villains, and I love them as a, you know, like Secret Six, Villains United. I haven't read Salvation Run or anything. And this is a really good story. You get an idea of the Fascist Rogues. It's like 3 issues, so it's not that long. And what happens is, this is after the conclusion of Salvation Run, where... the villains are coming back to Earth, and in the time that they were gone, I guess there was a new group of people who took over their identities, and this is just about them trying to upseat the younger people who took over their identities. So it's a nice unit of war, and I don't even think the Flash makes an appearance, so it's just like an all-out villains versus villains type deal, and you get like Inertia and Zoom in there somewhere. So I recommend checking it out. Like I said, 3 issues, you can't go wrong. Except if you're Nicholas and you're Mr. Jones is writing so much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're down a person at the moment, but it's Nick's turn.
Fucking right it is. keeping with my theme of going with a different writer and creative team with every pick, because I'd be honest, I could have just done all Warren Ellis or all Grant Morrison stuff for this, and I would have had no problem with it. But I decided to switch it up. Flip mode. Flip mode is the greatest. I was always told if you can't be part of the greatest, got to be the greatest yourself. So, in that spirit, I'm going with The Nightly News by Jonathan Hickman, written and drawn by same. It was his first miniseries he did. First published comic work, actually, was The Nightly News. It was a 6-issue miniseries put out by Image in 2007. It was nominated in 2008 for Best Limited Series Award, or Eisner's. It is essentially Network meets Fight Club. It is about media. It's about media and control, cults, and it's full of violence and a lot of information. Like, there's graphs, there's little asterisks, there's sidebars, there's footnotes, and it's amazing. Like, the graphic design of the book is what made it stand out so much to me. Because it's Hickman's sense of design and his use of negative space and color is really unique in comics right now. And I think it's why everybody paid so much attention to this series when it came out. You can get it as a trade from Image right now. It was, like I said, it was his first published comic work, and it led to his other Image work like Pax Romana and Transhuman and Red Master Mars, and pretty much directly led to him getting a lot of his Marvel work because everybody was just so impressed with how put together and how just complete of a work it was right out of the gate. And it announced Jonathan Hickman as, this is a dude who you need to watch because he's fucking great. Any of you guys read it?
No.
No, I haven't.
I've heard of it. God.
Which one? Sorry.
The Nightly News.
No, but I've been meaning to.
Yeah, that's out of anything I've said today, this is the first one you should pick up, honestly.
I'm sure you said that about the last one.
I said the you said the one before that.
Yeah, but it's one book, so it's not like you have to get a shit ton of stuff for it.
Oh, okay.
It's 1 6-issue series. And it is one and done. And it is really just fucking good. Oh yeah, Nightly News.
Mr. Anthony, since you have gone next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my last pick is Batman The Long Halloween, which is my favorite Batman book. Although, it's really? Not the best one. It's my favorite, but I wouldn't say it's the best Batman story I've read. It's just one of my favorites because it's one of the first ones I read. And I was stupid enough to let my dad sell it, so now I don't actually own a copy of it, and I keep meaning to rebuy it. But I think it's great. I like the idea of how it's each issue is an American holiday, and it's told over 12 issues, I think.
13.
I like Tim Sale's artwork, and you know Jeff Loeb isn't great, but it does the job, and you know I think it's a good book.
It's my favorite Batman book, too.
It's a good Batman book.
It's probably in
book.
My top 10.
It's a good Batman book for people who haven't read Batman before.
Which is why it's a
good
book. Yeah. It's an excellent, if someone's like, what's Batman about? You give
introduction.
Them
introduction.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me a lot of Hush, because it's very much that Jeff Loeb, I'm going to put all the villains in it, because whether
but
they make sense
done
or not.
Better.
Yeah, this one was done better. And I think a lot of that has to do with the art. I like Jim Lee's art a lot, but Tim Sale on the Batman books just kills it.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I haven't read any of the other stuff they've done in terms of, like, Spider-Man Blue or Superman for All Seasons or anything, because I just think he's good at Batman. He's really good at Batman.
Yeah. Dark Victory's okay, and Haunted Night is so-so.
I haven't read Haunted Night. I have Dark Victory. It was all right. I liked it.
Yeah. I just felt it tried to be too much like, on Halloween?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I haven't read Dark Victory. I want to, though.
Yeah, I would check it out, but yeah, I have all three of them. They were like one of the first, you know, first few Batman. That was really what got me into Batman comics when I was getting into them. So yeah, Mr. Pilgrim, if he's done puking.
Mr. Pilgrim!
My baby's sick. I wasn't puking, you bastard.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, whatever. I'm not going to justify my baby's vomit to you.
Okay.
My next pick is kind of a tie between two
Are you
books.
Eating?
No. I'm smacking my lips. I can't pick between Preacher or 100 Bullets.
Well, you have two more picks, so you can go with both.
Oh, but I have more than one. I'm gonna go with 100 Bullets because it was intriguing in the beginning, and then after about the midway point, you find that all this stuff that you've been reading that you thought was separate is kind of all tied
connected.
Together.
Yeah,
and then you know, has that typical great ending I love, and it has a beginning, middle, and end. That's another reason why I liked it.
It's also like 100 issues, so.
It's yeah, well, it's 13 traits.
It's a dense read as well. There's a lot of characters to keep track of.
Well, yeah, it's not hard to remember, though. Like, I don't know.
It depends, because sometimes you get characters who appear like the first 10 issues and they don't show up again to like issue 60.
You read it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm impressed. So you liked it or what? No?
It was, I enjoyed it.
It was a little confusing. Like, I have a friend at work that would read them after I did, and then we would talk and theorize about how everything was going to end. So, I mean, that made it a lot more fun for me, too.
Yeah, that's what to say. I guess the difference is I read it when it's all done, so I had the luxury of reading everything kind of more compact than having to wait in between.
Yeah, I did the trade, so.
Yeah.
Good, though. Still good. And, like, the art, especially, I don't know what it is about that guy, but when he does a page layout, it all looks like one picture. Even though it's busted up into panels, right?
Yeah, it was, at least I know there was supposed to be a video game for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Be one of the Minutemen. Carte blanche. I don't even know what that means, but I got the gist of it. I was like, oh, okay. Cool. Maybe I should have laid out the premise of it. It starts off with this guy. He comes up to random people. He knows they have problems, and he explains it to him. He goes, you know, he'll be like, I know this happened to you, and it was so-and-so. By the way, here's a case with a gun that's untraceable. If you get caught with it, they can't take it from you. And 100 bullets that are also untraceable. Do what you think needs to be done. And he leaves them with the case. And then, you know, through the various different situations, different things happen. And it's really good.
Yeah. Even though that the case kind of uses...
Yeah, about midway, right?
Yeah.
About the fourth grade, I think, maybe. I don't know. It's still there, but...
Yeah, it's not as important, which... I thought it was going to make 100... First issue, I thought he was going to give the person, like, a gun with, like, 100 bullets, and each one would be, like, an issue of who they decide to kill. Mm. But it wasn't.
That would be kind of boring.
It could be, but, yeah. You find out why it kind of has, like, a government protection over this organization and stuff.
Government mafiosos.
So, we're up to Mr. Dillon again.
Yes, we are.
Is this going to be a Batman Scout Pilgrim crossover?
No, it is.
That would be awesome, though.
I was talking about, yesterday my girlfriend was watching She-Ra when I was at work, and she twittered something about how this is what the inside of her head looks like, talking animals and chicks with swords. And I said, my head is more like Zelda, but with Batman and the Doctor high-fiving forever.
My next pick, I guess, which is Superman Batman Generations by John Byrne. And this is
an... Is that the recent one?
No, this is one of the older ones.
Oh, okay, yeah. The one that was, like, post-crisis.
But this is a Elseworld tale, and it kind of takes... It kind of looks at Batman and Superman if they had aged from when they were first introduced. Batman's introduced in 1939, and it takes a look at them every 10 years after that until 1999, which is when the first one came out. And it's stuff like, you know, like how Bruce would have to age out of the role of Batman and how, you know, he'd pass on the buck and stuff like that. And just like the developing relationship with, like, you know, Superman marries Lois, Batman marries, I think, Catwoman. They have kids and stuff like that. The kids get married, though I forget if it's generation one or two, but Superman always has a kid who... They actually with the poisons with kryptonite, so he doesn't have Superman's powers. And then they have a daughter who, you know, he doesn't have access to, and this person is granted Superman's powers. And part of the story is, like, 20 years later, the son comes back, and he's just that his sister develops his powers and stuff like that. And I believe she's the one who ends up marrying Bruce and Selina's kid and stuff like that. And it goes all the way up into, like, 29, 19... Well, you find out that Batman uses the Lazarus Pit, and I think the only people who still alive are like him, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and they're living on like a space station. But yeah, it's an interesting tale just to kind of see like an actual hero's tale where they age and, you know, life happens to them, they get married, they get, I don't think they get divorced, but they have kids, the kids have kids and stuff like that.
They don't do divorce in comics.
Well,
you're
the devil.
You may need to find your local Satan and fill out some paperwork.
And get Joey Posada to write.
I don't even know who.
Make him witness.
Has there been any other like divorces other than? Well, actually, no. Apparently, Flash made a deal with the devil as well for Iris, but I guess that one doesn't count, or they don't remember that one.
The Adam got divorced, didn't he?
Did he?
And that's what led to identity crisis.
You were correct.
Yeah.
Crazy Jean Loring.
Shaw, that crazy.
Spoilers.
Is she still Eclipso or what?
I don't even care. I think she's dead.
I did it.
Oh.
I didn't like Identity Crisis.
Really? I liked it.
It pissed me off.
I like what they did.
But no, I didn't like. It was a mystery. It was set up as a mystery that cheated you, because there was no clues as to who could done it, because no one could have ever figured it out. So that's not a mystery. That's bullshit.
That sounds like a Jeff Loeb story.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I did like the tiny footprints part, though. Like, that became a meme amongst me and my friends with the tiny footprints in her brain.
Look what we found.
That was a special story.
Oh.
Okay, let's see if we can get Dylan on the line long enough to make a pick.
Yeah.
Just yell it out quick.
Invincible Iron Man. Yeah.
Ooh, nice one.
Okay, apparently I'm not in this next one to mention it. So, yeah, I've read most of these issues, and I haven't disliked one, so that's something. You probably already know about it if you're listening to this podcast, but yeah, the omnibus, six trades, or you can get an omnibus and then two of the trades or something. It's definitely worth every penny.
I'm hoping they do another omnibus. So
I'm hoping they do another omnibus, and then Amazon has another glitch, so I can get it for $8 again.
You got it for $8?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you got it?
Yeah, I was one of the few people to actually get it, and I also got a $25 credit.
I was about to say, I got the $25 credit, which worked out. But
so basically, I fucked over Amazon.
They had another glitch a few months ago, actually, on some of the Marvel omnibus books. The odd ones you could pre-order. Cancelled though, which was a bit annoying. But the Walt Simonson forward was on there for like £18, I think, which is a lot cheaper than what it'll be on the cover of the book. Yeah. So anyway, Dylan, you was on about Iron Man.
Yeah.
Free transition.
If you listen to previous podcasts, you know I had a problem with Civil War, mostly because of how Iron Man got turned out, and the series kind of turned him around for me since it's made him more likable and just kind of, well, fixed him. Yeah, it's got great writing by Matt Fraction. Salvador LaRocca's art is pretty good to look at, and just go out and buy every issue you can find.
It was awesome.
Ghost Rider. I assume nobody watched that show either.
What the fuck was that?
You never seen Ghost Rider?
I think I've seen like.
I don't know where the music is singing.
I've seen that poor excuse for a movie with Nicolas Cage.
No. Ghost Rider. It was a show that used to come on PBS about like a ghost who would help kids solve crime by writing, and like he'd write in fruit stands, or he'll write on a piece of paper by rearranging letters and stuff like that.
A ghost writer.
Writer.
Also, I heard fruit stand. I was like,
It's your accent. I can't understand that, so.
It happens.
The only thing I've seen of that is a YouTube clip, so.
It's like, it was a fun show. I mean, I was like 5 at the time, so. Anything entertained me. Oh, that's
you just
not
like
true.
Flashy things still entertains you.
I do like flashy things in colors. I'm one of those ooh shiny people.
Yeah, I'm with Dylan though on Iron Man. I read it not a few weeks ago and I really enjoyed it. And the omnibus, Norman Osborn, it's Norman Osborn versus Tony Stark, which is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Okay, so we are up to to final picks now.
We're on the things that you love, but not everybody might necessarily want to read.
I've been doing that the whole time.
Look at this, final pick.
Final pick. Okay. So, talked a lot about the writers I like. Left out the big one, the one everybody loves, you know, considered one of the greatest comic book writers ever. Can you guys, got a guess? No, I already talked
Alan
about
Moore.
Grant Morrison. Yeah, there you go, an Alan Moore book.
Alan Moore
book. This is a giant, it is a tome.
From hell.
Right from hell.
Yeah.
I love the shit out of this book. Written by Alan Moore, drawn by Eddie Campbell. It is about Jack the Ripper, and all the mythology around him. It is a 572-page long book.
Fucking hell.
It is all in black and white, and it is fucking amazing. Now, again, it might not be for everybody. Because it's in black and white, it's very wordy. It's very dense. There's a lot of information in it. There's fucking annotations in the back where Alan Moore talks about the various things that go on in the book. And ignore the movie. The movie's a piece of shit. The movie is gigantic.
There was a movie.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I wasn't that fuss on it.
Yeah, the Hughes brothers made a movie with Johnny Depp, and they turned it into a whodunit.
Oh,
and
that thing. Yeah.
It is not. It is not a whodunit at all. He says right out who the Ripper is, and then goes into why he does it. There's some weird mystical stuff in it, you know, as Moore is wont to do with his belief structure. There's a lot of themes of advancement in human consciousness, I guess. Like, there's a big deal made about Jack the Ripper and the turn of the century being so close to each other that Jack the Ripper kind of predates the 20th century, that he sets the stage for the 20th century. There is a reference to the Jack the Ripper killings actually coinciding with the conception of Adolf Hitler.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird metaphysical stuff in it. It's very, very cool. It's very, if you put the work into reading it, it rewards you very, very muchly. Highly recommend it for anybody.
Check that out.
Check it out. It's a long read though. Like, it'll take you a while. It is a big book. But it's Alan Moore. Alan Moore is fucking awesome.
Nice.
Ignore the movie. Movie's a piece of shit.
So watch the movie.
I didn't mind the movie, but I mean, I was not familiar with the book, and I did look into the book. But like you said, it's a 570-page tome of doom. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna.
The Johnny Depp character in the book in the movie is actually two characters from the book.
Oh
wow!
I don't know how, obviously, if the book is so big, it's spread out over a lot of time, and they had to make some kind of hack for a movie, obviously. That's why movies never fucking turn out the way you want the books to be.
Yep.
In pretty much everything. So, I will say this much for the movie. It was a piece of crap, but it sure got my interest up for looking into the book. I have that to offer. Listen to Nick. He's awesome. He knows what he's talking.
Final pick?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, my final pick is a book that I love. I've read many a time, and it's one of the first graphic novels I ever read, and it is Kingdom Come.
Ooh, good one.
It's one of my favorite books ever. I love the artwork in it. I love the way it's written, and the story, how it's like a future take on the DC universe, and just all the shit that goes on, and the Captain Marvel Superman fight is just amazing. And yeah,
it's epic.
It is. It's awesome.
And DC's moving more and more towards making that the reality.
Yeah, well, he's in Justice Society now, isn't he? That Kingdom Come Superman, I think.
Didn't they just set that up so that wouldn't come about in Brightest Day? Or was
they
that
made,
just
they
the
made
generation
one of the,
lost?
One of the 52 Earths is the quote-unquote Kingdom Come Earth.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen.
Well, it's going to happen, just not.
No, it already happened. It's just on an alternate Earth.
Well, I mean, isn't it a future timeline no matter which Earth it is?
It's the Elseworlds story. I don't know.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can bring Elseworlds. I mean, Batman ended up with a son.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was from an old story.
And then 20 years from now, somebody's going to give him a sex change and call him the Huntress.
What?
Wait, sorry, different universe.
I like it though, because it doesn't have to tie into like the current DC continuity to be a great book, does it? It can just be read on its own, and then there's a sequel to it as well, I think, called Thy Kingdom Come or something. And when I bought
the Kingdom,
when I bought the book at the comic book shop, the guy actually told me not to read the sequel, and I was like,
most of those sequels never pay off. Yeah. Dark Knight Strikes Back.
What happened in the JSA is a better sequel, if you ask me.
I read Alex Ross did a one shot which he drew and he wrote, and it's Superman. And it was basically the Kingdom Come Superman, and the Earth One or Earth Two, whatever Earth is, the normal Superman. And it's them two in the book, which was quite
Earth
good.
Two, I think.
Yeah, Earth Two. Yeah, that was quite a good comic. I don't know. But yeah, it's a great book. I think it deserves reading at least once.
It's a book that I liked a lot when I first read it. It's lost a little bit something for me because of Alex Ross's art.
Yep.
But Mark Waid as a writer is always top notch.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid.
And I think the sequel is unjustifiably shite upon. It's not that bad. It introduced the concept of hyper time, which apparently everyone but Mark Waid and Grant Morrison ignores. So.
Mr. Pilgrim, final pick.
I'm wondering why we just got that link, actually.
Because it's distracted by boobs, and that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
Awesome. The best Tumblr ever, distractedbyboobs.tumblr.com. You should look through the rest of the archives. There's a lot more. And it's not just like it's NSFW.
I wish you'd have told me that when I was at work.
You looked at it at work.
Okay, so my last pick is kind of reflective of what Nick said about From Hell. I'm gonna pick A History of Violence because the graphic novel was fucking awesome compared to the movie. Awesome.
Say, I didn't care for the movies.
Really? Oh, the book?
Really?
Wow.
The movie was great.
I didn't like it.
They got everything right up until the coffee fight, coffee pot smashing, and then everything went downhill. I was like, what the fuck did you guys do to this movie?
Fucking Viggo Mortensen.
Ugh.
Viggo.
But I'm telling you, the book is way better. Way better.
That's fair.
I can't tell you who wrote it or who drew it.
Nice.
Because I don't want my stuff buried.
Can't or won't?
Both. How's that? I don't remember, and I'm not going to get it. I recommend it, man. I don't expect anybody to go even looking for it, right, because of what happened with the movie, but give it a shot.
I think I've seen the movie, or some of it. Yeah, I've seen all the movie, actually. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, most people think the movie's awesome.
What? Really? Who?
Yeah, the movie's actually pretty universally acclaimed.
Really?
Well, except I just agree. By me, apparently, so. And Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan, final pick.
I'm going to go with another series here. Batman Streets of Gotham. Specifically, it's kind of a weird choice because I only like some of the issues. The ones written by Paul Dini I really like, but there are a bunch that he didn't write that I don't like. So,
you speak
the
English.
Paul Dini one is good.
Yeah. Bizarro Dylan.
Cut that out. Anyways, the ones written by Paul Dini with art by Dustin Nguyen are pretty fantastic.
Paul Dini and Dustin Nguyen.
We don't have phonetics in Canada, man.
That's true. His last name is very difficult to pronounce. Like a lot of it's.
What did you say? You said that guy's name earlier, Bianchi. Bianchi. How did you
Bianchi.
Say it?
Simone Bianchi.
See, I wouldn't have got that, man. I've done stupid drunken podcasts trying to say that guy's name, and I can't.
Italian.
I just can't. Is that Italian? I thought he was like. Okay.
He's like actually Italian. He's from Italy, Italian.
Yeah, I believe that. I follow him on the Facebook, but I mean, I don't know how to pronounce half these guys' names.
I follow him on the Facebook.
On the Facebook?
He's like one of those old people.
Facebook.
I used the Facebook.
I call it the Twitter too, so don't.
Facebook sounds cleaner.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Dylan. Continue, please.
Well, anyways, if you've seen any episodes of Batman the Animated Series, which I assume you have, people, Paul Denis is a great writer, and art is good on those books. The other ones, not so much, but when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. So just make sure if the issue doesn't have Paul Denis' name on it, do not buy it.
How does that work in trade format?
The first trade is Paul Denis, and then I think... hold on, let me look at the list here. The first one is Paul Denis. The second is not Paul Denis. The third is Paul Denis.
It's not even a matter of who's the other person. It's just not Paul Denis. And the first one was the one with Firefly, correct?
Yep, that's the one that I have in my hand right now.
Okay. That was good.
Paul Denis as a writer is very hit and miss. Like, he can write some really good stuff, but then he was also in charge of Countdown.
I haven't read that.
I don't read Countdown. If we can have a comic book discussion of stuff to avoid at all cost, Countdown would be the top of my list.
And honestly, he has this fascination with Hush that I just cannot get behind, because Hush is just a dumb
character. The thing is,
I like what he's done with Hush.
I think he's taken Hush into a much better direction than Hush,
the character. I don't care about Hush at all.
I can understand that.
But yeah, Hush sucks.
Hush is a terrible character, but I like the heart of Hush and the stuff he's done with Hush as a character.
He also has this weird tendency to write Zatanna as being, like, in love with Batman, which no one else has done.
Well, that's just because this is the weird part.
Paul Dini is married to a professional magician who looks like Zatanna.
So essentially, he's
Mary Suing himself into the book. He's like, I'm Batman and my wife is Zatanna. How hot is that shit?
Yeah, because I believe he's actually on the cover of Zatanna number 6.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a really weird Mary Sue fan fiction thing.
Well, I mean, as long as this, I mean, I still enjoy his run at Zatanna. Whatever. It's pretty interesting.
That also leads back to my Grant Morrison Seven Soldiers thing, because I think Zatanna's...
And I guess my final pick would be Finals, written by Will Pfeiffer and drawn by Joe Thompson. And it's a... like most of them, it's fairly short. It's 4 issues. And it's just about like a very special... kind of like a supervillain college called Knox State University Chaos U, and it's just about like the main characters who are all doing their final projects, which are like different projects. So you have one person who's, you know, she's forming her own cult and getting members. There's another guy who's trying to create time travel, but like at the start of the story, you find out like he created time travel, but his future self got sent back to the past and shot in the back. So now he's kind of, you know, iffy about that. You have one person who's like majoring and like, he's doing bank robberies, convenience stores and stuff like that. So it's just like a bunch of different characters and their final projects. And it's kind of a morbid tale, but it's a fairly interesting look at, you know, like a supervillain school of sorts.
Interesting. All right.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
I think a friend recommended it to me a few years ago. And if anything's like 4 or 5 issues, I'll check it out. I mean, it's not that much of an investment. But it was a fun read. This is the one I was talking about yesterday on Twitter that I checked. It's not available in trade, but you can find single issues on eBay.
Okay.
That should do it. I guess anybody has any final comments?
Well, I'm wondering, actually, because, like, everyone's recommended, basically, like, 20 books has been recommended to every person. which ones do we actually go out and try? Yeah. Well, we did 5 each, didn't we? Or am I fucking up on my math again on a podcast?
We did 5 each, okay, so that's 20 per person.
Yeah, not including your own, obviously.
Yeah.
I've read 90% of them already, anyway.
Oh, okay.
So there you go, he's read most of them. I would assume, I assume you don't pick up all 20 right now. But, I mean, we've all kind of given a description of the book and why we like it. If you, you know, find that that falls into your realm of reason or sounds like something you would check out, I would go with that and then work down the list.
Yeah, there you go, listeners. That's what you should do.
Yeah,
what he's saying is you should all read the nightly news and then Seven Soldiers.
I was going to say, except for probably Nick's recommendations where you have to buy 10 trades.
Hey, that was only Trans Metropolitan.
Wasn't there, and Seven Soldiers is four trades in, wasn't there one that's like, no, your first, what was your first pick?
If those trades are out of print, though, that's going to add up, isn't it?
Well, most of his aren't out of print. It's just
the
that they're
only one numerous. Volume of Transmetropolitan is out of print, and it's supposed to be released shortly. That's the 10th one. My first pick is Five Fists of Science, which is one.
Okay, which is one trade.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'll probably actually read that.
So, yeah, those, you know, like those two, which is like one trade, and then you can start with the other ones.
I think everyone should ignore everyone's advice except for mine and pick up Scott Pilgrim first.
Actually, I have a question about Matt Fraction. Actually, a question just before we finish. Which one would you say Five Fists of Science is better than Last of the Independents?
I've not read Last of the Independents, so I can't say.
Oh, okay.
From what I understand, it's a very different type of story. Last of the Independents is a very like hard-bitten crime story, and Five Fists of Science is very... Fun! Science! Exclamation point. Lab coat pointing in the air.
okay.
Goggles and robots.
So, I don't think we have time. I was going to say, if everybody wants to do a recap of all their picks, everybody knows which ones they actually picked.
Read the Crow. That's all that matters.
Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
Actually, you know what I got better
idea. Doctor Who! Wait, what are we talking about? Multiball!
He does have a comic. Do you read that?
Multiball!
I don't read it. My brother buys a magazine, the Doctor Who comic is in, and I don't read it.
That's probably the equivalent of reading Archie over there.
Because I think it's like IDW or something like that, so...
Does it get printed over there?
Yeah, I saw it at Comic-Con. That's why I know it is a...
I'm quite happy getting all my Doctor Who in the TV show, so...
Yes, me as well.
Maybe you can never have too much of the Doctor.
If I'm ever bored or in hospital and I need something to read, I might read it.
So, okay, time for wrap-ups. As always, or that's 3 weeks, I guess, if you enjoy this conversation and this podcast, you can check us out on iTunes and rate us on that 5-star system. I think that's the use. Leave comments, feedback, and all that fun stuff. I don't know when, but I guess sometime in January we're doing our Movie of the Year podcast. And if you want to leave your recommendations or your picks, you can call us at 347-470-6373.
Are you still handing out that sex phone line number?
Are we going to go back to the sex phone line business again?
I'm just asking. You must be. Obviously, you're all defensive and a guilty posture with your voice. Okay, it's fine.
What?
Guilty posture with your voice?
Yeah, you heard me. I don't know.
How could a voice have a posture?
Nick.
This is why we don't have Canadians out of their country. They're going to ruin the rest of the world for us.
That's a fact.
Just him. He's a bad influence on everyone.
You be quiet.
Canadian versus Canadian. It'd probably be an Eskimo-Russian match.
What?
I don't know.
Canada.
But yes, this, for Nicholas, Anthony, Eric, and Dylan, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 25.
25, quarter century.
Nerds on the Rocks! Wow!
You do Dallas Multipass!